And I apologize to all the Longhorn fans out there for the disrespectful way we have to start this show. We are the station, all right, for the Longhorns. We're all about the Longhorns. I bleed the burnt orange. Just told my man Horace committed to the burnt orange, all right? We love it. And we are in sacred ground right now. All right?
Yes,
we're
we
at UFC Udishfolk Field. But yes, the Aggies. They actually will start the show today. The topic of Jimbo Fisher calling out his old head coach, one of his old coaches, Nick Saban. We'll get into it. He actually was the first former Nick Saban assistant to beat Nick Saban. A lot of people think that may be at the heart of all this vitriol that is coming out right now from Nick Saban. So let's get right to it. We'll hear from Nick Saban first. All right, there are two Nick Saban cuts we're going to play. I got these actually off of YouTube because I wanted to get the context. Everybody's playing just the, you know, obviously the cut that's kind of making its way virally around the Twitterverse, but I wanted to get you guys more context. All right, so we got the longer version of the cuts where he's calling out the Aggies, but also calling out Miami, called out Deion Sanders.
Man, Prime is not ready for that.
His Aflac buddy.
Yeah.
Right? They'll do the Aflac stuff. They get the Aflac thing. The kids like, man, it's your Aflac buddy. What are you calling out your Aflac buddy like that for? I thought it was an Aflac commercial bit for a while there. I was like, man, that's pretty wild that they got Jimbo in it. But anyway, that is not what's happening here. So let's hear from Nick Saban first. Here's the Nick Saban cut. It's the one you've been hearing, or the piece you've been hearing is in this, but it's a little bit more length. I think it's like 90 seconds or so. Here's Nick Saban. He was actually had a, I guess you can kind of call it a town hall meeting there, and he was on stage and he was talking about name, image, and likeness. And here's the comment that really set the college football world on fire.
The thing that I fear is at some point in time, they're just going to say we're going to have to pay players. If we start paying players, we're going to have to eliminate sports. All right, and this is all bad for college sports. I mean, we probably have, 450 people on scholarship at Alabama, whether they're women's tennis players, women's softball players, golfers, you know, baseball players, non-revenue sports that have for years and years and years been able to create a better life for themselves because they've been able to get scholarships and participate in college athletics. That's what college athletics is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be something where people come and make money. And you make a decision about where you go to school based on how much money you're going to make. You should make a decision based on where you have the best chance to develop as a person, as a student, and as a player, which is what we've always tried to major in. And we're going to continue to do that. And hopefully there's enough people out there that want to do it. But I know the consequence is going to be difficult for the people who are spending tons of money to get players. And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
All right. Honestly, it does sound like Nick Saban, I know he's getting into all the macro of it and how it affects, you know, all the other sports, revenue generating sports, all that. I get it. But ultimately, this is, you got to give the Aggies a little bit of credit because I don't know why they've made Nick Saban, because of the loss to the Aggies and then losing to them in the offseason in the recruiting game, a little bit insecure, which is, this is just Nick Saban being a little bit insecure about his positioning as the guy who's at the top of the mountain. And I don't know why. I'm not saying he's threatened totally by the Aggies, but the Aggies have made Nick Saban feel a little insecure. That's what these comments are all about.
Somebody done got in my man's Cheerios.
Yeah.
Dog. Somebody has gotten to the point now where you're right. It may not seem as quote unquote a threat or they're threatening to take over because, you know, they did win last year and they beat Nick Saban before, the Aggies did, before all this stuff started happening. So
Johnny,
it's happened
Manziel
before. Johnny Manziel put him on the map when it came to that right there. But what I'm feeling right now, and this is one of the things that I've always kind of prided myself on, is I want to be good to everybody, right? You can't expose everything. You can't open up Pandora's box. And that's exactly what Nick Saban has now done because of the fact that he's addressed things that people know about him. People know where the bodies have been buried when it becomes Nick Saban, former coaches. It's just like when you used to work somewhere and you leave that place. You want to leave on good terms. You don't want to stir it up. You may know all kinds of dirt about where you were, but that's not who you are. It's not you to come out and expose it. And Nick Saban is to the point now where he's feeling threatened that this landscape of college football doesn't make them the Joneses anymore. He's worried about that.
Yeah.
And they are the Joneses. They're still going to be. If they go out and they go and win a championship again, we're still going to be saying, oh, Nick Saban, look at what he did with all this animosity out there. But now you've put yourself in a position with all these other coaches to where you're criticizing them for being ahead in the game because the game is open now. The game is wide open.
I don't think it's all Nick Saban being insecure, you know, having to do with the Aggies. I think the Aggies are a little part of it.
No, I'm talking about everybody.
Yeah, I'm getting to your point because I agree with you about the changing landscape in college sports. I think another part of it has to be that Nick Saban feels a little insecure because he is not sure that Alabama is going to be able to dominate the next evolution of college football, whatever it's going to be with name, image, likeness, and transfer portal. We don't really all know how it's going to look. But he's unsettled and unsure about how. Because, and I think it's a message to also, you know, this is him talking to his own base, if you will.
Bro.
His own donors and his boosters and saying, hey, guys, new era. I know we dominated the last era and we did it a certain way, whatever way we did it. Now we got to up our game.
Yeah.
And he's literally saying he doesn't know if they can compete. Here's the next cut. He calls out Miami in the next cut and Deion Sanders as well. Here's Nick Saban continuing his criticism of the current name, image, and likeness landscape of recruiting in college football.
It's tough, and people blame the NCAA. But in defense of the NCAA, we are where we are because of the litigation that the NCAA gets, like the transfer portal. Every time somebody wanted to transfer, they'd apply for a waiver. If you didn't give them, the NCAA didn't give them a waiver so they could be immediately eligible, they filed suit. So the NCAA would back off and give them a waiver. So they just said, we're just going to make a rule where everybody can transfer. That's how that happened. So if the NCAA doesn't get some protection from litigation, whether we got to get an antitrust or whatever it is, from a federal government standpoint, this is not going to change because they cannot enforce their rules, just like Nate said. We have a rule right now that says you cannot use name, image, and likeness to entice a player to come to your school. Hell, read about it in the paper. I mean, Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year that was a really good Division I player to come to a school. It was in the paper, and they bragged about it. Nobody did anything about it. I mean, these guys at Miami that are going to play basketball there for $400,000, it's in the newspaper. The guy tells you how he's doing it. So, but the NCAA can't enforce their rules because it's not against the law. And that's an issue. That's a problem. And unless we get something that protects them from litigation, I don't know what we're going to do about it.
There's a lot of truth there. This is why some people are saying, you know, you should take away the one-time transfer waiver, you know, without penalty. If they do, they're going to be swamped in lawsuits.
Right.
From players who are like, no, I want to be able to transfer, and that's what the problem. That's why they gave him just a one-time transfer without penalty. So they're like, man, we don't want all these lawsuits, and we can't deal with it. We don't have the personnel to.
Right.
We don't have they got the money to, but they don't. They don't want to pay the lawyers, but they don't really have the employees to be able to deal with all that type of litigation. So Nick Saban makes a really good point there, and he also makes a good point about, and even in Jimbo Fisher's comments, and we'll get to this, in Jimbo Fisher's rant, he talks about, and this is one of the things that are very common between Nick Saban's rant, you hear the whole entire thing, and I would encourage you to do so, and the entire Jimbo Fisher rant, they both call for almost the federal government to do something. They both call on the federal government, Uncle Sam, to do something about name and likeness, because other than that, there is no way the NCAA can trump states' laws.
Right.
And what they're saying is, oh, maybe they're breaking states' laws, but I don't know. Every state's law is different. So whether they're breaking some state law or not, you're talking about semantics here. This is what Nick Saban's talking about. He's basically saying you're not supposed to be able to use name, image, and likeness revenue as an incentive to recruit a player. A player cannot take advantage of name, image, and likeness until they are a student athlete on your campus. It's an advantage of being a student athlete on your campus, not a promise to a prospect. Semantics. in my opinion. I mean, them trying to prove that is like trying to prove insider trading. You're going to need subpoena power to be able to compel someone to give you a cell phone or get cell phone records and right. be able to get communication with a coach.
Request.
Exactly. And get proof communication with a coach so you can prove your case that they, you know, were incentivizing them with name, image, and likeness revenue before they were a student athlete. I don't think you're going to be able to do it.
So let me ask you this. Let me play
then,
a little bit.
By the way,
of...
and the name, image, and likeness laws are purposefully filled with loopholes. They are purposefully vague
for sure.
so that the universities can take advantage of name, image, and likeness the way they wrote it. So for them to say, well, we're going to find them violating state's laws, I doubt it. I doubt it very seriously. They have lawyers who are setting up all these collectives that Nick Saban is in, you know, obviously anti-collective.
Like Miami. They got a big lawyer that's involved in it that's waiting for this type of situation.
They're welcoming the litigation, saying, let's go. Yeah. We'll take it all the way to the Supreme Court. And we know the Supreme Court don't really like y'all.
Right, right. So my question would be, I do agree with what you were saying about how it was being set up. They got the collectives. There's so many different parts of it. But when you make an announcement, and I'll use the University of Texas, that you are going to create the pancake factory for linemen that come to the University of Texas.
Yeah.
There has to be – you can't just put that out there for all these kids and say, oh, well, I need to go to Texas because I know I'm going to make 50 grand a year, but there is loopholes in ways that they have already set the precedent for that.
But that is a third-party collective. It has nothing to do with the university.
Right.
He's talking about coaches who are recruiting. And this is the thing, too. We don't know the rules of recruiting
right.
as it relates to name and likeness. When
a mom
or a dad are sitting on the couch, I know because I was being recruited. You were
yep.
being recruited.
Yep.
I know mom and dad are asking, hey, what's up with name, image, and likeness? And how much money can we make? And how does that work?
Right.
And I don't know the rules about how much the coaches can talk about it. Do they have to have a compliance officer with them? Do they say, hey, call
That's
the compliance
biggest
officer?
Thing right
I don't
yeah.
know. Now, the third-party collectives, they can say, hey, man, we're paying $50,000 to every scholarship offensive lineman because they're a third party. And that is not necessarily recruiting, but it is. It's great marketing, right? That's
right,
why I always say most of this name, image, and likeness stuff, perception is reality.
Yep.
If people think you're spending a lot of money on name, image, and likeness, then the recruits believe it.
Yep.
They believe that you guys are making it rain, name, image, and likeness revenue, then you are.
Yeah.
And if the reports and all the rumors are that, oh, man, they're really, really stingy about it, like at Notre Dame or
oh, yeah.
at, you know, like
certain schools where they're talking about, yeah.
And I wouldn't doubt this Jordan Addison thing really may have put Nick Saban over the top. Remember, Jordan Addison was supposed to take a trip to Alabama.
Right.
And all of a sudden he wasn't. All of a sudden, no.
Right.
And the reports were like, oh, no, the name, image, and likeness revenue was a big factor in the Jordan Addison recruitment. And all of a sudden it's just USC and Texas and that's it because they know how to play the game better.
But where was that conversation at where everybody knew that who created that?
We don't
know.
That's what I'm saying. Perception
yeah.
is reality.
Yeah,
we have no idea
because
all
it.
This stuff is still happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
We're not privy to all that.
Yeah.
Okay, so this thing about Nick Saban, we don't know at this point if Nick Saban is a rat, a snitch, or a whistleblower.
Hey,
all
man.
Right? Now, what
what's
the difference?
The
a rat is someone who actually took part in the corruption and took part in the whatever, the illegal activities or unlawful activities, and yet now they're coming out above board and they're, you know, basically talking to the authorities or cooperating to save their own skin. That's
Donnie
a rat,
Brasco.
Right? A snitch. All right. To me, a snitch really is somebody who was basically kind of just saw the wrongdoing and decided, you know what, I got to say something. I saw the wrongdoing. I got to say something. A whistleblower is somebody who kind of was a part of the organization, but as an insider decided, you know what, no, I'm going to blow the whistle. So you could be a snitch but have nothing to do with any of it. You decided, no, I saw it. I'm saying something.
Yeah.
And what is Nick Saban? Most people think he's a rat. Most people think Nick Saban was doing the same thing, and now Nick Saban's just upset because people are doing it just as good, if not better than him.
He knows where the bodies are being buried. He's part of it.
Yeah, and people don't like rats.
Yeah, they don't like it.
People don't like rats.
Donnie Brasco. You
yeah.
start looking at it, you start
like
trying
rats.
To figure out, okay, how is this going to go down? As I told y'all the other day, this is almost like Nino Brown in that courtroom. He's like, he was the mastermind, and that is where I'm going to let you go with your boy Nick Saban.
Yeah,
Jimbo Fisher.
You're right about that, though.
He was in
the courthouse, and he was like, "Oh no, I'm not the mastermind. That's the mastermind. Go talk to him. He get him up here on this court case."
Oh man, you're right. That's a great scene, New Jack City. Love that scene.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get to Jimbo Fisher and his response, which was, I mean, he decided to go scorched earth.
Yes, he did.
That's exactly what happened. This is about 2 minutes, but I wanted to look for part of it to cut it off, but he just goes off, and you guys know he talks faster than I talk, and I talk really, really fast. So here's Jimbo Fisher and his emotional response. He planned a press conference as soon as Nick Saban's comments went viral, and I'm just going to let you hear Jimbo Fisher. Here you go.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. Despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organ. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. And they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parity in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parity. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. But we're always going to be here. We're doing a heck of a job. These coaches have done a great job. Our players have done a great job. The whole organization of recruiting people. It's despicable that we got to sit here at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids, and their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it's personal to us. Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. Know him really well. It's amazing that we're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable. And I hate it. For our players who are coming here, who did things the right way, have done things the right way, and will continue to do things the right way, I apologize to you that people insult you publicly the way they're doing it. And our fans, I apologize to you guys for people saying those things about Texas A&M. But promise you this, there are no violations. There are nothing wrong. It's the second time we've had to do this with grown men who don't get their way and want to pout, throw a fit, and act up. Just go ask all the people who work for him. You'll know exactly what he's about. I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are, believe them. He's showing you who he is.
Okay, so there's one more little cut I want to play, then I will get Harsh the floor. So here's the next cut, and this is when he first takes questions, and this goes to how personal this thing is now for Jimbo Fisher.
Contact with Nick since...
No. Oh, he's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
And
he shows you who he is.
And then I just wanted to...
He's the greatest ever, huh?
And then I just wanted
when
to...
you got all the advantages? Huh? It's easy.
And I just wanted to just put it point blank. So no players in your... You're saying that no players in
there's
the 22
There's no laws of anything
any
we ever promised, done, anything... It goes against the laws of the state of Texas, and it's insulting to say a 17-year-old and his family broke laws. No.
Okay. So, there you go, Harsh. Give me your thoughts on it.
Nino Brown is all I keep seeing. He is over there. He is hot. And here's the other thing for me, Rod. Quit putting it behind the kids. These are grown men, okay? So, if we're going to set up these collectives, and there's other ways to go about this, why don't y'all handle this man to man? Why didn't you accept that phone call? We're done. Okay, that's fine. Let him know how you feel besides the microphone. Let him know how you feel on the phone if it's going to be face-to-face. Because don't forget, they got coaches meeting coming up in 2 weeks in Destin, Florida. They're going to be face-to-face again. They're going to have this opportunity.
He said he was asked about that. He said, I'm not afraid of confrontation. He said, I'm not afraid of confrontation. And he said, so he said he didn't answer the phone because I think he wants him to know, like, no, we're not friends anymore. You need to delete my number. You don't need to have my number anymore. Don't call me. Right. You said what you needed to say.
Right.
And, you didn't mention my name, but you mentioned my university. And that's personal to me. You mentioned my program.
Yeah.
And some people are calling out Jimbo Fisher for being, you know, he's irrational, he's crazy. Listen,
he's not necessarily irrational. I think you got to represent yourself, right?
I'll say this because I compared it to this. To me, it reminds me, like I said, it reminds me of a diss track, right? This is this is Jimbo Fisher's version of Ether or Hit 'Em Up, right?
Yep.
And the Hit 'Em Up track for Tupac, he made it personal. He crossed the Rubicon.
Yep.
Right, diss tracks were never the same. Rap beef was never the same. Their beef was never the same. Their beef was escalated. Tupac believed that Biggie violated a trust, that they were friends, and that Biggie either knew, and even worse, may have had something to do with him getting shot in New York City.
Yep.
He said at that point it was personal. He went scorched earth.
Yep.
All right, changed the game
hit
for diss tracks forever.
Heart,
hit him up with the way he started the song.
Yeah.
That's why F joke. He went after. Everybody was like, ooh.
We're like,
what? That's the
start. Turn it up.
That's
turn
the
up.
Start of the
turn
song.
It
that's
it
the
up.
Start of it. That's what Jimbo Fisher did.
Yep.
He went scorched earth, and I think it was because it was a violation of trust. He believed like that was my. We
supposed to be.
We supposed to be better than that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's a code. You know
we
what
played
I mean?
Basketball together every morning
in honor amongst thieves, and this thing has been building up a little bit, but it was playful. Remember, I believe it's a touchdown club. Jimbo Fisher said, "Hey, we're gonna kick his butt.
Yep.
We're gonna kick his arse or whatever." And then Nick Saban said, "What at golf?"
Yeah, exactly.
Turns out he did it.
Yep, he did.
Nick Saban don't like looking stupid.
Oh, man.
He didn't like. He's like, oh, you said at golf? No, on the field. You know where it is. And by the way, in recruiting, too. You know what I mean? For Nick Saban, he took that little personal. So I think for Jimbo, and people are saying this is stupid. This is why I think, whether unintentional or not, it's brilliantly working out for the Aggies. I know. People say, that's crazy. No. What now is the most anticipated game of the college football season? You know what it is.
Game two. Texas and Alabama.
Nope. Sorry, kids. Y'all know what it is now. You know what it is, don't you? You know, every long fan's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we play Texas OU. Now you're happy that Texas OU game is early. Because everybody's like, no, I got to get to the screen.
Yeah,
I got to
right.
see this.
Yeah, that's right.
Get your popcorn ready.
Yeah.
The Aggies have made themselves, folks. And now Ross Bjork, what's this Ross Bjork story?
Oh, man,
Ross Bjork. Hey, he's going ham too.
They're both the same.
He now is saying that basically Ross Bjork is potentially looking at talking to Greg Sankey about sanctioning Nick Saban because his comments violate the SEC sportsmanship bylaws. That's not a good look.
Yeah.
You can't.
The sportsmanship. You know what? And I've made the phone call to Sankey. Sankey.
I don't know if they're doing it intentionally or not. They're just saying, you know what? Let's just go all in. Let's be more anticipated. Let's be the most anticipated college football game of the season. Yeah, you're going to want to see this game more than you're going to want to see Bama versus Auburn.
Yeah.
Texas versus Bama. Texas versus OU. I'm talking for everybody, not for us.
For
the nation.
For the nation.
And right now, guys, I think it is.
Yeah.
Give me a more anticipated college football game right now than Texas, A&M, and Bama.
No, there is not one.
And we were just talking about the other day that they didn't have a rival, right? That they're rivalless. They don't want to be the side piece rival for Texas. That's why they may not want to play in the same power. They don't want to be the side piece rival. You got Texas, Oklahoma. That's your boo. That's your ace boon coon. Okay, you know what? We'll find our own. Maybe it'll be LSU. Maybe it'll be Arkansas. But we don't want nothing to do with Texas. We ain't trying to be second fiddle. And now, because of the, like I said, I don't know if they've done it intentionally or not. I'm not going to give the Aggies credit for a master plan. But I will say now, it has worked out, and you guys know it. They don't have a rival. They're not the rival of Bama. But right now, ask Bama who they want to play more than anybody else right now. Ask them who they want to play.
And vice versa.
Come on, man. It's like WWE. They're going cutting promos before the wrestling match. This is awesome. We should have more of this in college football. This reminds me of Pete Carroll and Jim Harbaugh going at it back. They took it to the league. They didn't like each other. I like that beefs exist in football between coaches, even more so than other sports. Other sports is there, but in football, you get it outside. Bill Walsh and Bill Parcells didn't like each other. Bill Parcells had to call Bill Walsh out about cheating because Bill Walsh was cutting off the headset communication and the telephone communication. And Bill Parcells had, man, you do it again, I'm taking it to the league office. The two Bills did. They were going at it. I love coaching beef. You get more of it. Yes, there should be.
Belichick and Mangini.
There should be respect, but there doesn't have to be courtesy.
Yeah.
Go
there
at
should
each
be
other.
Respect. There
respect,
should be respect,
yes, respect, but not courtesy. Let's go at each other. Trash talk. I love it.
But as you said, you know, when you started off like that and you go into the Biggie situation, it was like my man just said, Jimbo Fisher just said seven despicables, and he talked about the kids four times. Mm-hmm. Talk about Nick Saban. Go right at Nick Saban and say, call him out.
He did.
I still haven't seen exactly what Deion said because Deion got thrown into it. Can't wait to hear what Mario Cristobal got to say about this. What Nick Saban has done now has riled up the hornet's nest. Everybody now, you better start making sure all your compliance situations are in order. Make sure all the bylaws that y'all are following is in order because now it is being thrown up. And hoping it's like 52 card pickup. You're just trying to figure out where the cards lay. Am I gonna get my cards back? This is a wide open situation that I'm here for it.
Me too.
I'm here for it. And this is great for us.
Yeah.
Because we could talk about this forever because there's gonna be more to come out. And the fact that he said go talk to some of his other coaches. Now, if I'm one of those other coaches, I'm looking at Jimbo like, why are you throwing me into y'all's beef right now? Don't put me in here because I got my other stuff going on too. I'm trying to win in recruiting as well.
I think what he was hinting at is there are a lot of coaches who work for Nick Saban that don't like Nick Saban.
Agreed.
Like kind of how Lane Kiffin goes at Nick Saban as much all the time. And hell, he went at Jimbo Fisher too. Lane Kiffin will go at anybody.
Yeah, he's equal opportunity. He's equal opportunity.
Yeah, he's like Dave Chappelle. Everybody can get him. Yeah, I'll go off on all y'all.
Yeah.
But yeah, remember he was the get your popcorn ready guy before the game and got embarrassed. So he doesn't really care. He's shameless. But I think it's good for college football. I love it. Like I said, for the Aggies, good for you, Aggies. And people are mad at Jimbo Fisher and saying, oh, you look like a fool out there. If you think Jimbo Fisher looked like a fool up there, he wasn't talking to you.
Exactly.
It's like President Trump. People are like, oh, President Trump sounds like an idiot. He ain't talking to you. He talking to his people.
And he galvanized.
He talking to his base.
That's exactly right.
He just talking galvanized to his base. Y'all right. Talking like, oh, he look like an idiot. Well, he ain't talking to you.
Exactly. This ain't for you.
His base is like, oh, dude, I love it. I love it. They're eating it up. And that's what Jimbo Fisher, he's talking to his people. Yep. You ain't his people.
You're not part of the group.
Yeah, you're not part of the group.